This is Sean with Voices of St. Joan of Arc, and I'm speaking with Father Dave Lawler. How are you doing, Father?
I'm fine, fine.
Great. So you were at St. Joan of Arc as a priest, but also how did you get originally connected with the church?
St. Joan of Arc Church or the Catholics? What do you mean?
So with St. Joan of Arc originally. How did you get connected with that?
I was assigned by the Bishop of Indianapolis to go to Joan of Arc, 1964. And I spent 6 years at St. Joan of Arc. Wonderful years.
Okay. So what was your original motivation when you were young to go into the service?
You mean priesthood? To be a priest?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I had some nice, good parish priests. That's where it's mainly a good family. You got to start with a family. I had a wonderful mother and dad and my siblings, and I'm 85 years old, so I grew up 100 years ago, and it was a quiet world. We didn't have internet, we didn't have all the nonsense we have today, and went to Catholic school, had nuns, Sisters of Providence, all through grade school. Then I went off to the seminary. In high school, people don't believe they used to do a high school seminary, and that's what I did that many, many years ago. They don't do it anymore. So I was in the seminary 12 years, and then became a priest. Now I can expand on that if you want, but that's the story.
Yeah, go ahead. And then that road to St. Joan of Arc, expand on it.
Expand on what now? St. Joan of Arc.
Well, yeah, expand on it, and then the road to St. Joan of Arc.
Well, I don't know how much. I was ordained in 62, all right? So I spent 2 years right out of the seminary at St. Andrew's, which is out there East 88, what is it, 38th Street. It's pretty well folded up now. Because this was 55 years ago, and there's nobody there. Now the parish is, that doesn't matter. Then after 2 years at St. Andrews, I go to Joan of Arc. Monsignor Clem Bosler was the pastor. He had been there for 25, 30 years. There were four priests at the time. We had a lot of priests then. We don't anymore, but we used to. And there were two, a pastor, two associates, and a live-in who lived and taught at Marion College. I don't know what that's how Joan of Arc started. I said I was there 6 years. I was there during the Second Vatican Council, if you may or may not know. Its council opened in 1962, and it ran for 3 years. And the 3 years the council was underway, I was a priest at Joan of Arc. And day by day, things were coming out of Rome, and the Vatican was, the council fathers were going to do this, and we're going to do that. And the big thing that hit the fan, of course, we within about 4 or 5 years went from Latin to English in the Sunday Mass, and most people, myself included, sang hallelujah to get rid of it, because nobody understood the Latin. I mean, priests, we more or less did, but
right.
We had to do the English missal, the old timer. We had a missal, yeah, of course, a missal. It was in English on one page, and on the other was Latin. But that was, we finally got rid of that. And so I was actually there when the lit mass went from Latin. I was at Joan of Arc when the mass went from Latin to English, which meant, among other things, the priest would no longer stand with his back to the congregation. That's what he used to do for Latin. Today, if you see a Latin Mass, there are a couple around. If you want to find them, you can find a couple here in Indianapolis. When a priest does Latin, he almost always stands with his back to the people. Well, when English came, we turned to the altar. The priest turned to face the people, which meant we had to get a new altar. Because your altar at Joan of Arc is beautiful marble. It's all together. I mean, you weren't going to move that. I mean, tons and tons of marble. So we had to get that altar made. That altar you use today was made when I was there. I remember when it was made. And we got a fellow in the parish, Louis Hauke, I think was his name. And he made that altar in his basement. He had, was kind of a carpenter of sorts. And so anyway, the new altar was made. And we had to tell Monsignor Bosler that we were going to go to English. He was not happy. A lot of the old timers did not want that. He liked it, you know, don't change, leave everything alone. He was not happy. We said, well, Monsignor, we're going to have to use English now. And we got a new altar. And so then, of course, that meant new music and all kinds of good stuff. You had a wonderful music program at Joan. Well, you still do today. I think you got first-class music today at Joan. You've been very blessed over there. I know your music director. So when I was there in 1964, we had beautiful music, that beautiful pipe organ. The chancel, as you may or may not know, is the area right up above the sanctuary. You look down, right down into the sanctuary. They call that the chancel. And that's where the choir stood up in that chancel. And the organist was a fine musician, a Polish guy named Ed Krieger. And Ed would play the organ and then lift one hand up and direct the choir with his other hand. Of course, an organ, you got to use 2 feet, two hands. And so he would direct the choir. And they really, so we had beautiful music. And I remember that. It was a real treat. So, well, then, of course, the laity were starting to get more involved. When I went to Joan of Arc, nobody rang the doorbell because nothing was going on. There was nothing going on. Only time the doorbell rang, people came by wanting to have a mass said. Believe it or not, they did not have a secretary. People can't believe that. They didn't need one. Nothing was going on. And a little lady housekeeper, she'd go answer the door, and they'd come in, and, you know, Grandma died. We want to have a mass said for my grandma, all right? And then they would go on their way. I was also there when that house was built. That's a long saga, too long for you to hear. You don't want to hear it today. I lived in all three rectories. The one that had been there for 70, 80 years, your church, you know, well, you know, it's the center of 1921. The rectory was right next door, but it was real old. It was an old house, termites. The floors were squeaky, and the decision was made by, well, mainly it was a group of laymen in the parish. They had to do something because the rectory was going to fall down around. There were four priests living there. Plus, we had a live-in housekeeper, so there were five people living in this old rickety house. So they got, you know, drew up the architect, drew up all the plans. The contractor came in and they bulldozed the old house. We stood out and watched and knocked the old place down. A lot of nostalgia there, of course. And then they dug the hole. It looked like an atomic bomb, a huge construction. They were, well, that's now the base or the ground level of your parish center there. And then, of course, they built the rectory. I think you still call it a rectory. Well, it's also the parish office, as I recall.
Right.
Your father lives, the priest lives there upstairs. He's got his own little apartment. And then the parish secretary and the staff works downstairs. And so I was there to see all that when they dedicated, we got the new house up and have dedication, and we all moved into the new house. So I was between the destruction of the old one, the building of the new one, we had to get temporary housing. And they bought something right behind us there on Park Avenue. I think it's gone now. It's right off of your schoolyard there. And there was a convent. We had a lot of nuns. We had 20-some nuns. And there was a house there right around the corner from the church. And that was the convent. And these nuns all lived there. And so they of course, they knocked that school. We don't have that. We don't have nuns, at least not in the school. So they tore it, and that was pretty dilapidated, too. The buildings were, you had a beautiful stone church, a monumental, beautiful Romanesque church, but the houses were pretty dilapidated. They knocked the rectory down, built a new, and they knocked the convent down, and that's now just an open space back there because you don't have any nuns. We don't need a convent anymore. And then we moved temporarily during the construction of the house there on Park Avenue. And then, of course, we moved into the new one. And I was there when Monsignor Bosler had his Golden Jubilee, a beautiful event. They had a big ceremony, 50 years. And 2 or 3 years after his Jubilee, he retired. The new pastor came, Monsignor Cornelius Sweeney, and he invited the old man to stay. So Monsignor Bosler was invited to stay, living in his own little room upstairs, his area, his room. And that was very gracious. So we had Sweeney was the new pastor, and Bosler was now retired. And then myself, we had different priests in there. Mike Bradley was there. A guy named Purple was there. We had a lot of different. We lived in the back bedroom, back on the back end of the house, on the second floor. That's where we had our own little apartment. That's where we lived. But sad to say, Monsignor Bosler didn't live too long after. I want to say 2 or 3 years after his retirement, he died. And that's in the meantime. 1970 is when I left Joan of Arc, having seen a lot of things. That was a lot of things had changed. Not only new buildings, but a new way of celebrating Mass, new music. Parish council, lay people were getting more involved. Yeah, we had to get a parish secretary by that point too. Things were coming along. But anyway, I left in 70, and that was the end of my years at St. Joan of Arc. So that's about all you need to know, don't you, on that one?
Well, on that part, but I got a couple other quick questions for you.
All right, I'll be quick.
That's fine. So, just over the years of, then how old were you when you started? You were in your 20s, I would say?
I was ordained a priest at age 26.
Okay. So you've got a good...
That's what normally... You got 4 years of college, and then you have to do 4 years of theology in the seminary, and so that adds up to... You're about 26 when you're ordained. That's how old I was.
So how many...
When I was ordained, and then age 28... I came to Joan of Arc and then left, and whatever that was, 6 years later, 34, I guess, when I left. Anyway, so yeah.
How long were you a practicing priest total?
Well, I'm still practicing at age 85. I had Mass yet. When you're retired, if you're able, and as long as I'm able and don't fall down the steps, etc., I will continue to say Mass. I have a Mass a couple times a week, and then on Sunday. I'm retired, so I mean that's about all I do.
Okay.
Occasionally, if I do the last rites, sick calls, I don't go to the hospital anymore. That's the younger priests do that. So I'm still working, and most priests continue as long as their health holds up. So I'm still working. I've been a priest 59 years and still kicking.
So here's my big question for you.
Okay.
Out of all the years, have you continually still, apply the faith yourself, teach it to others, and keep doing... the requirements of what it takes to be a priest. What are some major aspects of the religion itself and the job itself that has really kept you going over the years that you respect the most of it? What are the things that drive you for the for the whole mission for 60 years?
You want that to be a short answer?
I want you to go with your gut, but I think it'd be beautiful for them to hear this.
Well, nail that down. You got about four questions.
What about faith and doing the job as a priest has really, what's been the motivation over the years to keep you going?
Well, basically the faith of people, the wonderful Catholic people that we work with, they keep the priest going. They're inspiring to us. They're faithful. Most times they're very good to their priest. Probably spoil a lot of their priest. Our prayer life is pretty important. We've got to continue. Well, we all have to pray, but a priest has his prayers. Then, of course, mainly the priest does the sacraments of the church. Mass, celebrating the Eucharist, is primary. You know, only a priest can do that, consecrating the bread and wine for the communion. So that's, then of course we baptize, cure confessions, officiate at Mary's funeral. God done lots of funerals, lots of weddings, and lots of baptisms. And put all that together, that's what keeps a priest going.
Okay.
And a bit of marriage counseling, maybe. I'm not too good at that, but I did a little bit of that, you know.
And that, I guess the bottom line is helping the people.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we're ordained to the people. Yeah, we're ordained to care for the people. Well, yesterday, the feast of Sunday of the Good Shepherd, the shepherd is translated into pastor. Pastor is what a pastor is, to be the shepherd to the flock. That was through the gospel yesterday, and that's what the church believes, and that's what people look to. The good shepherd loves his people, loves his flock, and he leads them along, you know, to fresh streams of water and faith. And so a pastor basically is like a shepherd is to the flock. Okay?
Right. Okay, then closing, what would you like to say to Father Roberts that's been there for about almost 15 years now? Would you like to say anything to him?
Oh, he's done a great job. I know him. He's a wonderful guy. You've been very blessed. I think you know that. Priests come in all sizes and shapes. You know, there's no two priests alike. You're going to get a new priest someday. He's not going to be Father Guy, but... you know, we priests come and go. People understand that. But I think he's done a marvelous job. And I've admired that. I've told him so. Not only getting your church renovated, that church is a master. Well, it always has been a masterpiece. Beautiful thing. For sitting there on the corner. But that it desperately needed work done on it. Boy, we got the terrazzo floors in and cleaned the place up. When I was there, you couldn't hear it. The speaking sound system, acoustics was terrible. You could barely hear what was going on. Now, when you're doing Latin, it didn't matter a whole lot. Nobody could hear it anyway. But, you put speakers in a few years ago, and man, they're wonderful. And then, what else was the other? I was going to say a couple things. The flooring, you got beautiful. The flooring was put in. That was desperate. The tile floor there was, I think, is about 100 years old. I think it's original. That's what they thought. And so, the lighting. Oh, my gosh. You almost needed a flashlight in that church. It was so, those chandeliers, they probably were 100 years old. So you got new lighting, new sound, and the place is tip-top shape. Now, priests don't do that by themselves, but he's supposed to kind of give leadership to it. So the parish got together, and Father Guy has been a wonderful shepherd. He's taken care of that parish and all the good people there, and he's still going. And, you know, my congratulations for your centennial.
And one last one. What would you like to say about Carl Henn?
Oh, Carl Lynn, he's a legend. Well, I knew Carl. Well, I mean, I was there 50 years. He was 50 years old. He was 50 years old when I came. I was 27. Well, he was always very, very, very cordial. He always had that very engaging smile. He always had a great love for Joan of Arc. He told me some years ago that that stone, that monument that sits on the corner, 42nd and Central, says St. Joan of Arc Church. I think he was the one that promoted. There was no signage. You could drive up Central Avenue. When I was there, you didn't know what the church, you didn't know what the name of the church was. And so anyway, that stone signage sits on the corner there. I think he was very instrumental. He probably would not take credit for that, but I think a lot of the old timers would recognize that he did a lot to get that signage. But anyway, he was sort of the backbone of Joan of Arc. And he was very much part of the parish when I was there. And he was very good to me when I was a priest there.
All right.
Okay.
That sounds good. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close it out?
Well, blessings to everybody. Have a great. I'm going to come to your party. It's going to be in July, I think.
Yeah.
You got to. Yeah. So I hope to be there. If I'm still up and around and kicking, we'll see. I'll slide in there if I can get in there. So I'll probably be. I get over to Joan of Arc once in a while. Not very much, but sometimes.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for your service for over 60 years with the people. That's beautiful.
Okay, no, thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.